Hey everyone! Yes, I do mean you. It's me, Silver Daddy. Are you ready for another exciting adventure, aka trip or trippin', with me? We're about to discover and share some amazing life stories. If I take a few sudden tangent turns along the way, don't worry, because I'll find our way back. Come on, climb aboard and buckle up because we are ready to start another great episode of
Trippin' with Silver Daddy.
Hi everyone, welcome to this week's Trippin' with Silver Daddy. I hope you had a great week. We're going to continue our conversation about the Caribbean islands. And as you remember, if you watched last week's, I rated all the islands that I've been to. I've been to about 20 of them, rated them all from 1 to 20. And then we use the Equidex, which actually looks at the islands and they look at all the LGBT rights, laws, and even how the community of that island perceives LGBTQ people. And then they give each island a score from 0 to 100. So I combined their rating of the islands that I've been to with mine, totaled them, and came up with a final. And today, we're gonna talk about four more islands. Some of them are islands I really like. So we're going to talk about Haiti, we're going to talk about Dominica, I keep saying it wrong, I don't know why, and I've been there so many times. We're going to talk about Dominica, which is different than the Dominican Republic. We're going to talk about the Butterfly Island. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out when I talk about it. Who knows what the Butterfly Island is? It's a beautiful island. We're going to talk about that one. And we're going to talk about Cuba. I've been to Cuba. So this is going to be very interesting. I'm going to try to share some personal stories, tell you about the different things. You know, when I just thought about the islands that I've been to, one of the things, like Cuba, just blew my mind away. It really did. It wasn't what I was expecting or the stuff that I was taught in history books. So it's going to be a very interesting show. We have a lot to talk about. So I'm going to get started right after this real fast little break. I'll be right back. You're listening or watching Trippin' with Silver Daddy. Don't forget to subscribe and like my podcast. Be right back. I want to tell you about my friend Jasmine, but we all just call her Jazzy because she is such a cool person. And you know, she has been doing yoga for over 10 years. And for 6 years, she's actually been a certified yoga instructor. And what makes her so special, she gives great one-on-one personal lessons, or she can do group lessons. If you're like me and need to work on your flexibility as you're getting older, or, you know, you just need to find that tranquil, calm place to be, Jazzy can help you. I know she's the right person for you. Hey, her information is above. It's on Instagram. Check her out at SuffocatingLoveZero. Okay, everyone, buckle up for a vibrant adventure in Haiti. You know, Haiti's known as the land of mountains. This Caribbean nation occupies the western third of Hispaniola Island, and it boasts a very rich tapestry of history, culture, and untamed beauty. Haiti. Here's some interesting things to know about Haiti. First of all, did you know it's illegal to have chewing gum in Haiti? You cannot sell or bring chewing gum into Haiti. And this is a leftover policy from the Soviet Union. I don't know why the Soviet Union, but any islands they're involved in, they don't like chewing gum. I guess because people in Russia spit it out and it gets all over. But no chewing gum in Haiti. But there's plenty of other good tasting things in Haiti. Now let's talk about nature. The reason it's called the mountainous island is because that's exactly what it is. This land is filled with dramatic mountains and peaks. And because of that, the interior of Haiti is not as developed as around the outside edges by the beach, but the interior is pretty much really kind of primitive and wild. You'd have to do a lot of hiking to get through there. Also, one of the reasons Haiti has a lot of problems when it comes to like hurricanes, because the water is up on these mountaintops, and the only place it can go is down the hills to the ocean. And where's all the cities? Down by the ocean. So it causes all kinds of flooding and problems whenever there's, you know, massive rain in Haiti. It's much more hillier and mountainous than its neighboring country, the Dominican Republic. So that's something that we need to make sure that you understand about Haiti and the landmake of Haiti. Now, for you history buffs, Haiti holds the distinction of being the first successful slave revolt in the Americas. And this was leading to its independence from France in 1804. This is a pivotal moment shaped in the nation's identity and continues to resonate today. They were the first island who revolted against slavery. And that is something they're extremely proud of. The other thing to know about Haiti, they have like a music festival, and it kind of It runs about the same time as Easter, and that's the Rara Festival. It's a very musical with lots of drumming and energy and costumes. I have never seen it, but it sounds pretty much a lot like, you know, the carnivals that go on. So when I was in Haiti, I have to admit, I didn't get to see much outside of what I call the secured area of the capital, because I was there to open an airport and just negotiate with the government. Haiti's had its, you know, it's had its problems. And there's a lot of things that go on there. But the shore in the country is so beautiful. So they keep like this one area is pretty much an area that locals have to have identification to even get into. They want to make sure it's kept safe and secure for tourists. A lot of cruise ships go to Haiti, but they stay in this area. Most people don't realize this, but when I used to work in the airline industry, Haiti was the one country that the airlines made the most profit off of. Can you believe that? One of the countries that has some of the most problems when it comes to weather and that, and disasters, is the country that airlines make the most money off of. Because there's a lot of nonprofit organizations that go into Haiti to help, a lot of missions and all that, to build schools and hospitals and things that the country needs. So there's a lot of people that need to go in, and there's a lot of Haitians that leave Haiti to go to places like Miami, Fort Lauderdale, just to buy food and stuff to take back. So I didn't really get to see anything outside of what the tourists got to see, but it's beautiful. And in that area, it's extremely nice. Now, I will tell you this as a personal story. When I was in the Dominican Republic, I met one of the nicest men that I've ever met that was from Haiti. And he was studying to be a doctor. And I will tell you one thing. He was beautiful. And his skin was so dark that it just shined. But he was a beautiful man, beautiful heart, beautiful person. And some of those rumors about the men in Haiti, I'll tell you one thing, they're true. But back to Haiti. So, what's probably most famous about Haiti? It has the citadel, and I hope I'm getting this close, it's a French word, La Ferrée. Not sure if I'm even close to that. But it's a citadel, like a big, not castle, but like a point on top of a mountain for protection. And that's what citadels are. And actually, a lot of people call the citadel the eighth wonder of the world. It is huge. And what is amazing about the citadel, it was all built by former slaves in the early 1900s. And it was all made by hand. And it's on top of a huge mountain, handmade by their ex-slaves in the 19th century. Yes, the 19th century it was built. And they actually needed this when they were declaring independence from France. And the sheer remoteness of the citadel is what makes it so inspiring. You have to climb hundreds and hundreds of steps to even reach the fortress. But it is out in the middle of nowhere. And once you get up there, if you make that hike, it is beautiful, they say. I never made this hike. You know, it's very significant for historical reasons because this is right after, you know, they got their independence. They used this. It's an architectural marvel because it was shows how the Haitians were able to ingeniously build this and engineer this. Massive stone walls, cannons, and a network of tunnels using their hands to build everything. And the location makes it such a unique place. Hey, if you get a chance, get to Haiti. We're going to take a short break. I'm going to be right back. You are listening and watching Trippin' with Silver Daddy. Did you know if you live within 20 miles of the ocean, there is saltpeter in the air? Saltpeter is very bad for your car. It can cause rust and dull your paint. So you need to get your car washed at least once a week if you live within 20 miles of the ocean. That's why I go to Majestic Car Wash. My Blue Beauty, I only trust Majestic Car Wash. They're located at 2781 North Federal Highway. You know, you have your choice. Your car can go through the 40-foot long cleaning tunnel, or it can be hand washed. They also have a detail shop that can make your car look brand spanking new. So where do I take my Blue Beauty? To Majestic Car Wash. You need to go there today. Welcome back. Now we're going to talk about Dominica. Dominica, oh, my Dominica. I actually rated it really high, personally. I love this island, and I don't love this island. I love this island because it is beautiful. It is, I can't even explain the beauty of this island. I don't love this island because of their laws. against people who are LGBTQ. It is illegal in Dominica to be gay. And when I say illegal, you can go to jail. And locals have told me jail time isn't just like a couple days in jail. We're talking 10-year prison sentences for being gay. So it is not an island that has great rights for those who are gay. And if you go there and you happen to be gay, do not hold hands in public, do not kiss in public, because you may be staying on that island much longer than you want. But other than that, I rated it like number 7 overall because of its beauty. Dominica is known as the natural island or nature's island. And it has the beautiful emerald green sea that surrounds the island. And the middle of the island is filled with some of the most luscious rainforest and volcanic peaks, waterfalls, hot springs. What else is in the middle? The Carib. Talk about that in a minute. It's just beautiful. The crazy part is you land at the airport on one side of the island and the capital is on the other side. Now, when I was leaving there, they were just finishing a highway that cut through the middle. It used to take 3 to 4 hours to drive from the airport to the capital. The capital is where everyone stays, and that's where the cruise ships go. Right by Fort Young. I used to stay a lot of times at Fort Young. Love the place. It's an old fort that was converted to a hotel. Really cool. And some of the rooms still have the outer walls of it. And you have the real tiny little windows. Really cool place. Great staff. Great service. Love that place. There's some interesting things about Dominica. Once again, this is another island that no chewing gum. No gum on island. You know, I don't know why. They just don't like gum down there. Now, here's the real humdinger. Dominica has the world's second largest boiling lake. The world's second largest boiling lake. Guess what the name is? You're right. The Boiling Lake. That's the name of it. They didn't get any more ingenious. It's just called the Boiling Lake. And, you know, it's because of the volcanic and the heat underneath and that comes up through the water lake. It makes the lake boil. So it's a very interesting area. It's in the middle of the island in the rainforest area. And it's also where some of the best waterfalls are. It's just beautiful. It is so primitive and looks like something from the past. And because of that, this is where Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, a lot of it was filmed. And there's actually still parts of the set that are there. Like if you're over on the airport side, just north of it, there's this big tract of coconut trees. And they still have this, like, running thing. Like, rails that go through the middle. Where that big ball was rolling down. That's there. The rock where the swinging bridge, the rope bridge that he crossed. That's right by the road. They used to keep it up. But people would go out on it and it was dangerous. They had to take the bridge down. But the rock, the two peaks, you can see where all that is. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that was going on there. And what I mentioned earlier, this is also the island where the Caliango people lived. And they're commonly called the Carib tribe. And what's so cool is this is the only place in the Caribbean where the indigenous people still have a village and live. And you can actually go to their village as a guest and as tourists to see them. How cool. Now, when I was there, I can tell you the cool things that I did. One, oh yeah. So when I was dealing with the government, they gave me this guy who was like my, quote, personal guide and to keep me safe. He was young, very athletic, very, very nice man. So we actually recorded one of my first shows down there. I was with Gene Paul, and we recorded a show when I had my radio show in the Caribbean. And we went to the Sulphur Springs. Oh my God, it stunk so bad, but they were hot springs. Well, we took bathing suits and got in. I can't remember his name, but we kept telling him, hey, get in the water. Why don't you come in? He's like, no, no bathing suit. We're like, just go in your underwear. We got extra towels. And he's like, no underwear. And we're like, well, then just get naked and get in. He said, okay. Dropped his pants and got in with us. I was stunned. He became a very good friend. And we talked a lot and spent a lot of time together. Because as my personal guide, he had to make sure I was safe all the way until I got into bed. We'll leave it at that. But they have some really cool things there. There's the Morne Torres Pintons National Park. And this is a World Heritage Site. And this is the area where all that boiling lake and all the falls are. The falls are the Tafarga or something like that falls. They're like 200 feet tall. This is a beautiful area to go to. Oh, and also you have the Indian River, which is on the North Shore. You can canoe that. It looks like you're in the Amazon. That is, oh, that's a really cool area. And then you have the Sulphur Springs I told you about. That's the Walton Sulphur Springs. And then one of the other cool things that happened to me when I was there, I went scuba diving. And this is the very first time I ever heard whales singing underwater. Scared the living shit out of me. Because that noise travels further underwater. I could not figure out where in the hell these whales were. And I spent the whole time diving, looking over my shoulders, looking everywhere. Because when whales are singing, you don't know where they're coming from. I know they don't attack humans, but still, whales can be one scary thing when you hear them singing. But it was amazing. I've been to this island, I want to say 3 or 4 times when I lived in the Caribbean. Absolutely loved the beauty. But I wish they would really come into current times and change their laws. I can't tell you how many people I have met from this island who were gay, who begged me to get them off island. So, I'll be right back. Where are you going to find Silver Daddy on July 26th and 27th? Of course, I'm going to be at the Mobile Blether Weekend. And if you want more information, you can go to MobileBlotherWeekend.com. You know, Blether is the Bear and Leather Pride Weekend. It is a big weekend up in Mobile. I can't wait to be there. On Friday, July 26th, is the Red Light, Green Light Underwear Dance Party featuring DJ Robbie Kerrigan. July 27th, Roughnecks on the Rig will be having the 29th annual Mr. Gulf Coast Bear Contest, and that's going to be hosted by AJ McKay, and I'll definitely see you there. When you come up to Mobile Blether Weekend, make sure you make your reservations today at the Host Hotel. Hampton Inns and Suites, it's only $139 a night. What a steal. I can't wait to see you up in Mobile. Do you know which island in the Caribbean is known as the Butterfly Island? Well, let me just tell you this. Get ready. We're going to explore Guadeloupe. Guadeloupe is incredible for a lot of reasons. You know, we would say it's the Butterfly Island for several reasons. But if you ever actually look at it on a map, it looks like a big butterfly. And that's one of the reasons they call it the Butterfly Island. Guadeloupe is actually a territory and part of France. What is very interesting about Guadeloupe, they speak Creole, but with a twist. The reason we say it's Creole with a twist, Guadeloupeans chat in French Creole, but it's infused with African, European, and even some the French Creole. So Guadeloupe's version of their own vocabulary and pronunciation of Creole is like a language of its own. It's different than other Creole languages that's spoken in maybe Haiti or even down in South U.S., down in the bayous. It's a very unique language only to Guadeloupe. And we talked about the Pirates of the Caribbean, but this is the real island of the Pirates of the Caribbean. When I say the real island, this is the island that Blackbeard made his home. And Francis Drake, they actually made this island their home base. They were from there. So we're not talking about no movie set. We're talking about the real thing was happening. Talking about movie sets, there's actually some famous actors and actresses that are from Guadeloupe. Like Jocelyne Baca from Girlhood. And Omar Sy from Jurassic Park. This is their home country. But the reason we also call it the Butterfly Island is there is over 200 varieties of butterflies that live on this island. That's a lot of butterflies, a lot of types of butterflies. So the island looks like a butterfly. The island has a lot of butterflies because it's very lush. Nature, you know, a lot of things that butterflies like, and butterflies like this island. Not only do butterflies like this island, I love this island because it is beautiful with nature. Now, once again, a lot of things are in these French words, and I do not know French. There's this big hill, La Soufrière, or Sapphire, or Soufrière, whatever. I'm sorry, I don't know the spelling. But it is also a World Heritage Site. There is actually active volcanoes that tower over the southern part of the island. There's hiking trails you can take. You have these beautiful views from the top of the mountains. And you can actually see the plume of smoke that rises from the peaks. It is truly a volcanic island that actually is smoking. So that's something worth going to go see. And Basse Terre Island, its nickname is the Green Pearl of the Caribbean. And that's because it's a nature lover paradise. Think of dramatic waterfalls, hidden hot water springs. You can hike through the national park, and there's falls that you can swim in. This is something that you see in a movie. Oh, and the underwater, I forgot. They actually have a Jacques Cousteau underwater preserve. There's a big section by the island that is a underwater preserve named for the famous French underwater diver, explorer, Jacques Cousteau. And you can go snorkeling there. It's a great place to go diving. I've never dove on this island. And it has beautiful coral reefs. Turtles, fish, everything you could ever want. I can tell you that. I've heard people tell me stories about this island. Now, my limited time on this island was dealing a lot with the government, the director of tourism. Don't remember his name back then, but he was super nice to me. And they would take me to some very nice French restaurants, and we had very good food and saw beautiful beaches, but it was all kind of contained. They wanted to make sure I was happy. I didn't have a personal escort, though. That would have made me very happy. Personal escorts on these islands, if they take care of you, it's well worth it. Hey, everyone, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. And we are going to talk about one of my favorites. Oh, and by the way, this island, Guadeloupe, I didn't mention, it ranked number 10 on my list. So we're moving up the list. The next island I'm going to talk about, it's in my top 5. I'll be right back. This is Silver Daddy's one-of-a-kind, handmade tie-dye shirts that are for sale for $30 each. I have them in sizes medium, large, extra large, 2X, and 3X. These are a 100% cotton shirt that has been washed one time after the dye process. If you are interested, please let me know by an email. This shirt I call Nipples. The reason being, it was a fold technique, and I didn't know how it would turn out when I unfolded the shirts. They tend to have these round square things right where the nipples are. So the shirt is called Nipples. Send me an email if you're interested, and I will send you photos of your shirt. That is to trippinwithsilverdaddy@gmail.com. Hey, here we go. This is the big one. Literally, it is the big one. It's the biggest island. It's Cuba. And it actually ranked combined score 4th on my list. In my top 5, I rated it number 3. It's one of my favorite places I've went to. But Cuba, it is the largest island in the Caribbean, which I just already mentioned. And it has really a lot of history and cultural and natural beauty. There's so much that's going on in Cuba. And I just want to be the first one to tell you, I was simply amazed when I was in Havana. I was just amazed at a lot of things. But I did see some things we'll talk about later that made me very sad about the country. But historically, you know, Cuba in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and he was in Cuba. So this started the whole Spanish colonization for centuries of the island. They were always under Spanish control until 1959, when Fidel Castro, he ushered in a socialist state, and it continues to shape this island nation today. Also, because of the Soviets being involved in this country, you cannot chew gum in this country either, or bring gum in. But what's interesting, and you hear this from so many different places, Cuba claims to be the birthplace of salsa music. Now, every island seems to be the birthplace, and I get them all mixed up. But the Cuban island claims to be where salsa started. Now, here's something very interesting to know. Did you know Cuba has its own crocodile? There is a Cuban crocodile. Unlike the saltwater crocodiles in South Florida or the Nile crocodiles, this is a very unique, endangered breed of crocodiles. I just happen to know about them because I know the Miami Zoo has them, because I've seen it at the Miami Zoo. It also has one of the largest reefs in the Caribbean on the south side of the island, well known for diving. But Cuba boasts a lot of things and a very diverse range of tourist attractions, like Havana itself, where I stayed. Havana is so cool, very colorful. There's a lot of things to do. Let me just tell you about the gay bar. And I stayed at a gay hotel. Who would ever have thought of that? That's why Cuba ranks so high. They rank very high in that Equidex index. There was a gay bar. It was hysterical and fun. The reason it was hysterical, they had a stage that was probably 8 feet wide. Not that much bigger than my hands go. And they did like a full Vegas production with the bird feathers and that. And there was probably 10 to 12 dancers on this stage that was only 8 foot wide. I mean, they had to like stagger themselves when they opened the feathers or they would have been knocking everyone off. But they did this complete Vegas type show with guy dancers in skimpy little shorts. Very hot. They had drag queens. They had women doing stuff. It was incredible. And then when you were in the bar, I don't know if I should tell this, but if you sat by yourself, three men would come up to you, three different type of men, and all sit at your table, talk to you, and want to be your friend for the night. And they were all very different from each other in looks. Like, one would be hairy chest, two would be smooth, one would be very muscular, one would be just average. And they would talk to you for a while, and they'd ask you to pick which one you wanted to still talk to. And you just kind of point it to the one, and the other ones would leave. And then, if you want it, you had your personal person to enjoy the night with at the bar. And he would make sure you got home to your hotel safe. Cuba was so much fun. Nothing like I was expecting or what I learned in school. I'll tell you one thing. Well, I'll tell you two things. I already told you one thing. I'll tell you more about Cuba. The other things to know about Cuba, it was probably the safest place I've ever felt. I feel safer when I was in Havana, Cuba than I do in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. People were so nice, and it was so safe. I was walking the streets at 3 a.m. after drinking and smoking a cigar by myself. Never saw anyone or had a problem. One time I had kids that came up and asked me for money. Oh my God, the adults were yelling at them and chasing them away. There's so much more. I have more to tell you about Cuba. But we're going to take a fast break, and I'll be right back. This handmade tie-dye by Silver Daddy, I call this one Fall Revenge. The reason I call it this, I think of the very middle as like a pumpkin seed, and the pumpkin kept growing bigger and bigger and bigger until it blew up. And that's the revenge. This is one of my favorite ones. I love the colors. They're bright. Very cool. These also come in the same sizes of large, extra large, 2X, 3X, and mediums. Forgot the medium. If you want more details, please send me an email to trippinwithsilverdaddy@gmail.com. It is also just $30 for a piece of my art. And look at the next one. This handmade Silver Daddy tie-dye, I called Tummy Pop. Don't ask why. But it's using mostly colors of blues and greens and chartreuse. Very interesting. It's kind of what we call a geo pattern. Really like this one. I wear mine all the time. And this also comes in the medium large, extra large, 2X and 3X is also $30. If you're interested, send me an email to trippinwithsilverdaddy.com and I can send you photos of the one you will receive. I hope you like my tie-dyes. Welcome back. We're still talking about Cuba. So I was talking about Havana. I just absolutely loved the area. I found a little art district. It's famous, very famous. I wish I could remember the name, but it's a little alley. And most of the artwork was painted on bathtubs and sinks, different things. And it's in this alley. And there's a real famous Cuban artist. I think it's Santiago. I'll put the information at the, at the end of the show. But, oh, I really had a, I wish I could spend a week in just Havana. But there's other areas of Cuba that's famous. You know, you have the valley area, you have beaches, Venado Beach, I believe it was. There's Trinidad, Santiago de Cuba. And in Santiago de Cuba, there's a World Heritage Site there. There's a castle there. There's so many things in Cuba to do. It just wasn't what I was expecting. And it was like so refreshing to see. Now, what I was very disappointed in Cuba was I could not find any place that sold Cuban cigars. And at this time, I was a heavy cigar smoker. And I couldn't wait to buy Cuban cigars. I'm thinking they're going to be like every street corner, someone selling cigars. No. You have to go to the Royal Hotel that has a cigar shop. And it's one of the few places in Cuba that is licensed that can sell Cuban cigars. So you have to go to a very special place and they cost a fortune. I was thinking I was going to pick up a bunch of Cuban cigars and, you know, bring them home because I think you're allowed to bring 20. But no, I couldn't find hardly any. The other very interesting thing that I totally forgot about, Cuba is a very Roman Catholic island. The Pope even was there. I was in the same church with where the Pope was. It's not a big church. But they also have this very unique religion in Cuba. It's kind of a mixture of some African with Catholic influence. I don't want to say voodoo because I'm probably going to get in trouble. And I believe it's called Santi something. But it's also one of their national religions. So when someone dies, they actually have two priests that all people are buried under that religion and also the religion of the Roman Catholic faith. Very interesting. Because when I think of, you know, Cuba, I was not thinking it would be a very religious place and that, but no, they have shrines all over the place, artwork everywhere, some of the most beautiful artwork. Oh, and there's like by the bay, there's this big statue, almost like the one you see down in Rio de Janeiro, a big statue of Jesus. And then there's the fort I went through and the bars. Boy, do they drink though in Cuba. They love their rum. Did you know Hemingway spent a lot of time in Cuba? He actually had a house in Cuba. And he was pretty famous at the time. This was in the 1920s and 30s. He was very famous. And all the bars would try to lure him in. And one bar actually, you know, a lot of people say that the daiquiri was made in honor of Hemingway. That's not really true. But a bar did make a drink that's called Papa Doble. Papa Doble that was made for Hemingway. because Hemingway liked his drink stronger, but he didn't like as much sugar. So they made this daiquiri with less sugar and double dose. That's the doble is double or two or double. So they made Papa Doble, and that is in honor of Hemingway. Now the drink that they make today and give to a lot of tourists, they change the drink around a little. They put maraschino cherry juice in it, and they put a little bit more grapefruit juice to kind of tame down the strong taste. And that's what they serve to a lot of the tourists and tell them it's Hemingway's drink, but it really isn't. Now, when Hemingway lived there, though, Hemingway actually wrote a lot of his novels. Either they were written there or edited there by him. So novels like his famous novels, For Whom the Bell Tolls, The Old Man and the Sea. I had to read that in high school. Across the River and Into the Woods. To Silver Daddy's House You Will Go. Islands in the Stream and A Movable Feast. All these were actually written at Hemingway's house in Cuba. Did you know that? I ranked Cuba very high on my list, and I would very much like to go back and see more of the country. Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this and learning something about these islands and making some plans on going to go see these islands yourself. If you do, leave me some comments below. And as always, make sure you follow, subscribe. I'd appreciate it. And I'm actually going to put some, what we call, trailers on the end. I'll find some of this information and put up for you to look at. So you're going to hear some. Let's try to find some Cuban music. You're going to listen to some music. Watch my trailers. We'll be at the end of the show. And as always, remember, love, peace, and respect. You've been listening to or watching on YouTube, Trippin' with Silver Daddy. Bye.